Hello and welcome back to the On the Rocks podcast, episode 3. We're a month into the season, and I am joined with, as always, Liam Goodley. And maybe we might not be as upbeat as previous two episodes after the last few results, but there's still a long way to go this season. So, Liam, some overall thoughts from this month?
Yeah, it's not been the best month, I think, for a starting five games. I don't think it's been the best. But there has been some shining lights within the team. And obviously, there's been some changes already, which we'll talk about. But I think we've still got a lot of improvement to make. We've got some players still to come back from injury. I think that's played a part. But we've played on some difficult pitches, as we were talking about off air. And I think that's played a part also. Obviously, our first match at home, although it's at Chichester at the moment, made it difficult for us as well. But we played against perhaps one of the better teams in the side in the league this season. So it's still hard to judge where we'll finish. At the moment, we're bottom four, of course, in that relegation battle. But it's early doors, 4 points from five, not ideal. We'd like another 3 points somewhere there. But overall, not a disaster. There are teams down there with us that I think you'd expect them to be a bit higher up the table already, and they're not. So there's a long way to go, of course, at around 40 odd games. So I think there's still plenty of points on the board to be had there.
Yeah, it does feel like it's been the perfect storm really at Bognor. There's been obviously the pitch. We knew beforehand we weren't going to be playing home games for the foreseeable, and that was always going to make things more difficult. We were probably hoping that we won't be quite as difficult as it has been, but that's definitely been a contributing factor. And then on top of that, if we go back to the Harrow game, after when I spoke to Jamie in the post-match interview, he said he had eight first-team players unavailable to him, and that is a ridiculous number of players. Even a professional team, if they had eight players out unavailable, they would be struggling. They would be having to field youth players, and so for a team, it's the fourth step of non-league football to have to contend with those sort of losses and injuries, and players that are playing through injuries as well as those players that are unavailable. It's just crazy. So I think most people can tell there is a lot of talent in this squad still. As you said, there are changes coming. There's as we record this today, Simba Malambo and Sam Hookey have parted ways with the club, which is sad to see in some respects. In Simba's case, we saw some promise with the winner at Porchester. In Sam's case, it's a disappointment because we didn't really see anything of him. Again, it's another one. Both players have suffered with injuries while they've been with us, so it's a tough one for the club. It's no one wants to be in the situation. There's a lot of frustration, I feel. But again, as I say, it's the perfect storm. Everything's brewing at the same time. The lack of ground, people weren't really infused with having to play the home game at Chichester. I felt Saturday the real longing to be back at Knywood Lane now, and the result didn't help.
Yeah, and hopefully this November date is when we're going to be coming back, all being well. Weather, I know the weather's been off lately, but I think they've had some good weather leading up to this week. So hopefully everything will get back to schedule with the building works at Knywood Lane, and we can get back in hopefully in November. And I was thinking it's going to be December, but they're saying November now, so we'll see on that. But that'll be a big boost for the club, I think, in terms of not only the fans but the players themselves as well. I think we'll have a big benefit. Like I said, all the injuries we've already had, and this is what I worried about at the beginning of the season, like Tommy Block being missing, Harvey White missing, key players are not playing. But having said that, we've been given the opportunity to play some youngsters, and they've stepped up, when they needed to. It's just that they've come up against some of the harder teams in the league already. And it's proved quite a difficult month for us, but I'm positive that September might see us sort of turn a corner and start to climb the league, hopefully, and maybe progress in the FA Trophy as well.
Yeah, FA Trophy being the next one up for us on Sunday against Sevenoaks. And it's an opportunity to take a break, I think, from the league action. It's a chance to kind of have a free hit. unlike the FA Cup game, I felt there was quite a bit of pressure. You're playing a team in the division below, and you're in a position where you feel like the club needed a cup run in the FA Cup, where the prize money is lucrative. While FA Trophy, the prize money's a lot lower, and it's an opportunity just to play a different opposition, play a game that, if it's not going to be the end of the world if we lose it. If we lose another couple of league games, all of a sudden you're really panicking. But a cup game, you can kind of set it aside and treat it as a bit of a refresh. But as just we were saying, it's we're a little bit doom and gloom. But I think one really positive thing is just the support so far this season has been ridiculous, in my opinion. 437, I think, was the attendance last Saturday against Leatherhead. That is a bigger attendance than Chichester managed for their last home game. We're playing home games away from home and drawing easily biggest crowds in the league when we are playing at home. So that is a massive positive, don't you think, Liam?
Oh, definitely. When we were looking around the ground during the game, we thought, "Where's there's not many here." But then, when the game started, you could see how many people were standing out there. And in total, horrible conditions. Weather was really bad against Leatherhead, and I just thought, "Wow, these people are still, we've just been relegated, and these people are willing to make the trip to Chichester to watch us play a home game, and turn out in those numbers." I mean, we're probably one of the top in the league. I'm guessing that's. I've seen Binfield. I think they only had about 90 people turn up. So to have, four times as many, more than four times as many turn up, given we've just been relegated, was really good. And fair play to all the people that turned up. It gave, it means a lot to the players and it means a lot to the club as well to see so many people. But I think people are still optimistic. It's still very early in the season. And I think once we do return to Knywood Lane, there's bound to be a bump of crowd. And I know if we're back, which we should be by January, we've got three big home games from I think New Year's Day to sort of I think sort of 10th of January or something. There's three games like within 2 week span, which are all at home. So I'm hoping that we're in a better position by then in the league, and we're battling it out to move up the league. But as you say, if we get a couple of wins in the FA Trophy, I think that will give the team a boost as well, and also the fans will get behind them whether we're home and away, Chichester for the time being. But it's bound to help us, going forward into the league as well, which is the priority I think this season. We have to, solidify ourselves at least in this league, and then start to move up hopefully next season if we can't this year.
Absolutely. So solidification. I'm sure a few Rocks fans jokingly suggested, especially after the Porchester game, where I think a few of us may have started dreaming of something more special after what was a frankly ridiculous game. But looking at the games in more detail, as someone who's watched all the games, Porchester was probably one of our worst performances, which is crazy to say. But you look at Littlehampton, I thought we dominated, we just didn't create enough. After that, you had Harrow again. The red card changes that game massively. We weren't probably dominating as much in that game, but we took the lead, we were looking strong, we were looking. And the theme throughout all is we've looked, despite not keeping a clean sheet yet, we have looked really defensively solid for long periods of games. It's just we haven't had the same cutting edge as the teams we've been coming up against. And that's something that both Burnley and Jamie have underlined in several times now, is that we just need to improve in the attacking third, and not necessarily attacking third, just in the box, getting the chances, converting the chances is the phrase I'm looking for, because the build-up's brilliant. I think there was time Saturday, mainly in the first half. The second half, there's no getting around it. It was drab. There was not much going on in the second half. But there was moments in the first half where you had Gifford breaking away and almost setting up Dembele, and I'm very impressed with Sukjay Lee. He was a very good winger, I think, can go either way. So there's promise there. There just needs to be a bit more clinical actions in the final third for Bognor to really make that definitive step into getting results.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. Dan Gifford was probably one of the standout men for me at Leatherhead. His right, it's like he's not been injured. He's come back and he's fully going for it, running down lost causes. I mean, he didn't get a lot of the ball at Leatherhead, but when he did, it was like we were gonna, this is our main chance to get the goal. And he's proven himself again. Hopefully, he'd like to get amongst the goals, I'm sure, but if he's setting them up, that's just as good as a goal, really. So it's unfortunate Dembele didn't have a great match, and other players on the pitch didn't hold possession well enough, I don't think, in this outing. But I do think we came up against a very physical Leatherhead team who are they know how, they know how it works around the pitch and know how to get those free kicks, and that sort of broke up our momentum a bit, and we couldn't really get hold of the ball enough on the floor to play our passing game, which it was frustrating to watch because the second half, as you say, got worse and worse. But the first half, if we'd had taken one of those, goals changed games, and I think they scored one goal there, could have been a lot different story in that second half. So I just think their heads dropped a bit, when they went 1-0 down. You're thinking, oh, we deserve to be, at least 1-1 here at half time. But then second half, they got that second goal late, I know, but you could see it in the end because you could see their energy levels starting to drop. But like I said, Dan Gifford was good. Billy Alcock was good. He had a few bursts through. Dembele, okay, he scored that goal at Horndean, which is it's great to score back on your re-debut when you come back. He just didn't have a great game, but he's got to find it a bit of time to gel the players that we've got. So I'm hopeful that the team can figure out the different ways they can get the ball. I do like us to get more balls into the box, get more crosses in. So I think we have got players with that ability, like George Britton and Lenny Smith, who I rave about all the time. I know he's on the bench a lot, and I know he's young, and I know he's raw. But I think with that raw pace and that long throw, he gives that added dimension to us. So hopefully he'll get a few more games in. Because he's been tearing it up with the under 18s, which is great, and we've got some good youngsters coming through. So once they're a little bit older, they'll be ideal. But I think the players that we've got, they're working hard. You can see they're giving it their all. It's just sometimes the goal sort of just hits them sometimes, and they want to battle back, but sometimes they haven't always got the energy to do that. I do think we lack a little bit in, like, a steely midfielder, someone that can win the ball back for us in midfield quickly before it's deep into our own half. I think that's where we lack a little bit. But we do have very good creative players. Technically, we're very good. It's just the strong stuff, the physicality side. We've got Chad and we've got Dembele up front. And then you've got other players that drop in defence. But really, in the middle, I think that's where we're lacking a bit at the moment.
Well, there's only so much dwelling we can do on the last month, really. I think we've hit the nail on the head pretty much. It's just a case of score more goals. So we'll move on to some more positives, and I think the main positive at the club at the moment is the Rockettes. They're flying again after picking up where they left off last season.
Yeah, fantastic. I only started watching the Rockettes about 2 to 3 seasons ago, and ever since I've absolutely loved it. And I think to see, some fans starting to go, that only go to the men's normally, they're starting to go and they're enjoying it. They're going home and away now, which is great. The Baldy Army, I think, were down there the other week. So to get that win against Leatherhead, who are, one of the better sides in the league, to come from behind 1-0 and to win that, that's it's brilliant stuff. And then they go and win again yesterday against Hastings United. They're playing their games at Selsey at the moment whilst the pitch is being done. And Selsey have been a big help to them. And, since Hannah and John have come in, they've really changed things up and got everybody passionate about it. And, it makes everybody else, like the volunteers, like Lucy and everybody else, digging in, helping out. And they're doing some good stuff. And Billy Bromley's he knows the young players around in this area. He's worked obviously with his daughter Lily Bromley, who's one of our youngsters now who comes on, and they've been really good. Him and Matt Wright have got a perfect sort of partnership on the dugout, and they brought in some really good players this year. Beck Bell, who I've sponsored actually this year, I think she's going to be key. Just married to Molly Thorns this past week, so congratulations to both of them. But they've got a good team. They've got a good mix of youth and experience. Millie Carter is an absolute star. She's great with all the fans. She's our top scorer for the last two seasons, I think. She's been brilliant. And Rhiannon Hambleton, I mean, she's the new star from last season. She was amongst the goals a lot of the time. I did a commentary today for the game against Hastings, and it looked like they played very well again there. Leia Burchett, youngster in goal, she looks superb. And there's lots of competition for all across the pitch, and their confidence is sky high, and it means a lot. I know it means a lot to them and to Hannah and everybody when there is, when there's fans that turn up. I know it's there's still a stigma attached to it, which is unfortunate. But I was one of those people, I have to admit. Two or three years ago, I was all about the men's team, and I wish I'd now I'm thinking about the under 18s team a bit more, because I've realised that I've missed out all the players that are coming through. So I'm going to try and get to some games if I can, but they always play on odd nights where I'm working, so it's difficult. But yeah, I've really enjoyed it. I do when I'm at games. I wasn't at the game at Hastings United, but I was at a pre-season game against Havant. They won 3-0 and they looked really good, and they played really well. So I all fair dues to them. They're running it. There's no budget. The players aren't getting paid. It's just literally a bit of sponsorship helps them to pay their expenses. They've got to pay the referee and all sorts of things. So they're at step six, but they're hoping for a step five next season. So they're really going for it. The only trouble is in the league, the London and South East Women's Division, you have to be finishing top, and there's no playoff. So you literally have to finish top spot. And they just missed out last year with Aylesford. Last game of the season, great turnout by the way, loads of fans there, make great atmosphere. Aylesford just pipped us by beating us on both occasions, but we'd won every other game. We didn't, it was pretty much unbeaten all season. So Billy Bromley's so approachable with interviews. He's always up for an interview. That's good from a journalistic point of view and to get the word out there really about the team. And now the press are starting to, like the local press are starting to promote them a bit more, show our match reports in there, which is it's certainly a growing thing. It's very much at its root at the moment. It's trying to expand it and trying to get people to know about the team. And I think looking at social numbers, it's starting to grow, it's starting to pick up. And as soon as like yourselves also share it on the main Rocks 1883 X, the numbers shoot up from a couple of hundred to 2,000 plus, so more people are seeing it. So it's good though. I enjoyed the football there. The way I see it now is, it doesn't matter what team it is, as long as they're wearing a Bognor shirt, it doesn't matter.
Absolutely, absolutely. That is exactly the attitude. I think that I'm surprised in the modern day more people don't share, but we say that it is expanding though. You talked about the crowd that we saw travel up to Aylesford for the last game of the season last season, but losing that game hasn't seemed to kill the momentum. There's well over 100 at the Hastings game at Selsey, so even the women's team are seeing increased attendances even while we're away from Knightwood Lane. I think it's really good to see stuff like that, and it really speaks to how the quality of football that when people go and see the Rockets once, they often go back because they realise what entertaining and high quality football, even at such a low level of women's football in this country.
Yeah, and they're such good characters as well. I mean, Millie Carter's a real character. If you get watching them, you can hear what they're saying on the pitch and everything else. It's quite funny. It's quite entertaining. It's a bit different to the men's, obviously, but it's slower in terms of the pace. But in terms of technically, they're very good. And they're not afraid of a tackle and not afraid of a big, high header and everything else. Fair play to them. They're a good side. And I know a couple of years ago we did have a good side. That was when I wasn't really watching them, but they did well previously before this current sort of era, if you like. But we're very much in the sort of early stages of sort of a growing thing. I think what we'd like to get to is where Lewis, how Lewis have done with their women's team. they've gone on, obviously be playing in the championship and everything else. And they're when we played there, you could see the standard, but they only beat us 2-0 in that cup game. And we were okay, they were stronger physically than us, but that was the only difference, really. Our team still were very good, and we did have, I think we did have one chance that we could have got a goal off, but it was no disaster. We only lost 2-0, and it was at their dripping pan, so it was always going to be difficult. But I think overall, most teams that come down to Noel Lane against us, all that we played away, we've usually beaten them by one or two goals at least. And that's a testament to all the players and the management, and they've done really well.
Yeah, I agree. Especially with a testament to the management, I think, because you spent mentioned Billy Carter, Rhiannon Hambledon, sorry. These are players that have played much higher level than what Bognor are playing at the moment. They're attracted to the project that Billy Bromley's putting together, and I think it's a big testament to the work he's putting in at the club, and his wife's putting in at the club as well. And you mentioned all the other volunteers that help. It's a really big effort going into making the Rockettes what it is at the moment. And you mentioned obviously Billy being open to interviews. That's what we've managed to do for this episode. And I have to say, this is one of my favourite interviews I've conducted. He is an incredible speaker. I think if you continue watching, you're going to really enjoy this. So here is what happened when I spoke to Billy Bromley. Welcome to the On the Rocks podcast, Billy. Thank you for coming aboard. It's a privilege to have you here. And we'll start right off with the start of this season, two wins from two, picking up where you left off last season.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, took the words out of my mouth, really. It's we set the bar high last year, and we've set it even higher this year. So we'd like to go one better. And walk away champions, not runners up this year, because no one remembers second place sort of thing. So it's looking good. Like I say, two wins, two games, two convincing fixtures. First half against Leatherhead, we were a little bit rusty. Almost looked a bit like a training game. A little bit of a grilling at half time, and we come out second half and played some lovely football and got the result that. Maybe we did deserve. I think a draw would have been maybe a fair result, but ultimately the girls worked really hard for 45 minutes, and we sort of well, we walked away with 3 points, which is what it's all about.
Yeah, you mentioned picking up it. No one remembers second place last season, but it was just such a tight league last year. Missing out only through losses to the eventual winners, Aylesford, and losing out on the final day as well to a narrow 1-0 defeat where Bognor could have scored easily two or three, well, three or four in that second half. So,
I
is
agree.
there any lessons you've learnt from that bitter disappointment last year?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately we were over the moon because we were in relegation battles, not last season, the season before I took over, managed to sort of eke it through. Matt came on board, as my head coach alongside me, which has been brilliant. The club sort of set us a target, and we said, well, we're here to win it. We want some silverware. Went on, had a really good run of it, and as you say, I think everything happens for a reason. And there is a reason why we didn't promote last year, and I think it's enabled us to use our pathway from the youth, which is lovely. We signed three or four youth players this year, from the under 16s that I was managing or coaching at the time. So I think if we'd gone step five, they would have not got as many minutes. So that's a positive. We've signed some really big signings, so. I think just having the versatility maybe off the bench will be the difference this year. We haven't entered as many cups either, which I know sounds ridiculous, but obviously with the pitch being ripped up, it makes it harder to sort of beg, borrow, and steal locations to play out of. And the cups, although they were great, like the games against Millwall were close. Portsmouth Women's, the under 23s was a really close fixture, went down to penalties. But it demands a lot from the players, and they were cups that we were never going to go on to win. Realistically, once you start going up to your Lewises and that, who we played last year, lost 2-0 to them. They were three leagues above us. So we're sort of just trying to focus really on a league campaign this year and the FA Cup run as well, which starts for us this Sunday. So, yeah, it's exciting.
And this league, perhaps you're hoping that given now Aylesford have gone up now, and that was the only team that really came close to you last season, that perhaps that this season that you'd be front runners for the title. But obviously, there's been a bit of rejiggling. Leatherhead were one of the new teams coming into the league after being in the
Yeah,
Northern
good
Division.
setup as well. Really nice setup, that club. They played some good football.
And at the moment, the league leaders are Eastbourne Borough, who have won their first two games 6-1 and 8-1. So, some new challenges for you this year.
I mean, hopefully they enjoyed what they saw because there was a few of their players there on Sunday watching us, which was a compliment in itself. You know, they're also watching Hastings, I believe, so I've got those in the FA Cup on Sunday. But I watched the Eastbourne Montpellier game, and you know, the scoreline does not reflect the play at all. Montpellier just sort of their heads dropped, unfortunately, in the second half, and they got punished. But that's not something that we do as a club. I think we'll give Eastbourne a really good game, and to be honest, you know, let's see what happens when we play them. But we're confident. We're confident every game. We go to every game to win. I'm sure Eastbourne are the same. They're a very good setup. They've obviously got a lot of backing financially and supportive wise by the club, which is lovely to see. I've been there a few times for football, Eastbourne, you know, on the pitch as well. And it's a nice stadium. It's a nice pitch, and I'm looking forward to going there. Looking forward to seeing what they've got. I think we play them in 2 weeks, so that'd be good.
And you talk about these places with good setups at the moment. Obviously, we're in between grounds. We're waiting for our pitch to be laid. But also, we spoke. It was for one of my uni things, so it didn't get put out. We spoke about a year ago, and you talked about quite how tough it was when you first came in, and what the sort of situation was with the club where you weren't even sure if there was going to be a team going forward. How much progress have you made, just even in the space of a season, to this pre-season now?
I mean, last pre-season was hard, like, and you know, the club, when I took over, don't get me wrong, they supported us, but I'm not in talks with them all the time. I deal with Hannah and John, who are our treasurer slash chairwoman, who are great. They do a lot for the men, and I think they deal quite closely with them. But us personally, we sort of we deal with ourselves. We just look after the women, make sure the training's good. The club, obviously, if we need them, they're there. But we try not to hassle them, in the sense of sort of, you know, we know they're there if we need them. But truth is, we haven't needed them. It's been really smooth this season. My wife, is our secretary, who, in all fairness, that makes a huge difference. She's really on the ball. So, you know, in any hiccups that we overcome with training issues and that we've had with facilities and pitches being ripped up, our other training facility conveniently was ripped up at the same time. So that opens, I think, Thursday. So ready for a Thursday session. But, you know, we've managed to get a new training facility for Tuesday and that. We were due to play at Chichester City, but that fell through, unfortunately. So we managed to get in at Selsey, which is amazing. They've been really supportive and welcoming, going above and beyond with getting us on the pitch and getting us playing there. So, you know, credit to behind the scenes, really, within Lauren, Hannah, and John. They've really, really sort of dug in and helped. So yeah, no, the club itself, the women's sector is, yeah, it's flying. It's really good. It's positive. It's nice. Makes a change. Last year was stressful.
And perhaps a reflection on that expansion as well. You've also added to your coaching team some more analytics going on. Is that a sign of the ambition within the coaching staff to progress the club up the leagues?
Yeah, definitely. So, we've got analysts being done. Been fortunate enough to by the first team, by the men. Been given the player makers to put onto the girls so that we can start tracking stats. You know, and see where we're at, and we can give feedback. We've got analysts on every match being done, so the girls are getting snippets of games sent over. That's actually starting this week. We had a bit of a problem with getting footage from pre-season, with teams in tiers above maybe not wanting to release it because they didn't want it to get leaked. Because obviously, being beat by a side a tier below doesn't look great. Not that we were doing it for that. If you know, on our socials, we never posted scores or anything. We kept it very, very respectful. But we wanted that for the girls to give them the feedback. But moving forward, we've got all games being analysed. The girls are getting snippets of information, working on areas. Sorry, excuse that. We're working hard behind the scenes. The girls are working hard behind the scenes. You know, they're all putting extra sessions in themselves. We're a lot fitter than we were last year, and that's not an insult to anyone who was with us last season. But we've just had a better pre-season this year. It's got off to a better start. It's more structured. We've got more pitch space to train on. We've had more friendlies. It's just, we were still building blocks last year, whereas the fundamentals were here already this year. The foundations were laid, and we ran with it. And you know, we had some big names reach out to us, which was nice. Cardiff City approached us to play them. Unfortunately, we couldn't sort the away travel for that, so that fell through. But Cardiff City, we had Jersey. We tried flying out to Jersey, but again, we just couldn't make the dates work. But next season's looking good. For as long as we have a good FA Cup run, we should have a budget for it. So hopefully. Hopefully we'll get a little bit of travel and a little bit of fun and team bonding out of it as well.
And something that last season's success has definitely helped with is the increased support just on the ground and in and around the ground and at games for the women's team now. Also in women's football in general, with obviously the Lionesses another Euros win. Just
Yeah.
how does it feel to be in this sort of momentum moving forward for both Bognor's women and the women's game in general?
Yeah, I mean it's really exciting. I think, you know, myself and Matt, I mean, Henry's great. Henry's one of our newest ones on the sideline with us. Henry's been fantastic from since he's been on board. He's keen to learn, which is brilliant. And he does everything you ask because that's not what he's there for at all, but he doesn't ask any questions. He just wants to learn and he wants to be involved and help, which makes mine and Matt's life a lot easier. Obviously, we have big ambitions, but the fact that we're now getting recognised and people actually recognise you as the Bognor Regis women or the Rockettes manager, you turn up to a game and people are saying, "Oh, amazing result on the weekend," or "You're looking really strong." And our signing that we've got coming out this week has been leaked a little bit, I think, which is nice. I had two or three people come up to me at the Bognor men's game on Saturday, who, funnily enough, was against Leatherhead, came up to me and said, "Oh, have you signed so and so? That's, you know, huge signing." Like, yeah, potentially, yeah, it's good. So now it's nice. All of a sudden, we're sort of getting a little bit of a momentum. We're averaging sort of 100, 125 at a home fixture, which, going off last year, is easily up, probably 100%, really. Should probably give a shout out to like the Rockettes Loyals and the Wheatsheaf Posse and the Baldy Army, and you know those boys are quality. They're a really good buzz, and to be honest, like they travelled to Leatherhead. You know that's amazing. Obviously, yourself and a few others came. Well, quite a few others come to Aylesford, and to be honest, I think we had the more support there than what the home team did. You know, it was loud, it was great. The girls are enjoying it. We thrive off of it. Yeah, I really hope the girls get what they deserve this year and they get promotion because, you know, you've only got to look at the football on the pitch. They're looking like a setup that are keen to play and they do want to play. They're playing football. They want results and ultimately we want to go up through the pyramid.
Yeah, and speak more generally as well. Yourself as a man in the women's game, is there, and also having a daughter in football as well, has it been at all an eye-opening experience as Rockettes manager into the challenges in women's sport?
Yeah, I mean we're miles off. We're miles off being equality. I mean there's been one or two incidents which has really quite took me back to be truthful this pre-season. The naivety of some people, but at the same time, that's the way the cookie crumbles. I mean, if I didn't have a daughter in the game, I'd like to think I'd still be interested in it and you know and invested in it because ultimately, anyone who puts an England shirt on, I'm going to go and support. You know. That goes for football, that goes for cricket, rugby, boxing. You know, you support your home heroes and everything. And I think, I mean, on a Sunday, if we're not playing, as I say, I went down and watched the Eastbourne Montpellier game. I will travel, I'll go and watch Moneyfields a fair bit, quite close to the coaching staff there. So I try and support them where I can. You know, I've got an interest in the women's game and I wish more and more people watch it because, to be honest, the football, it's not like people expect. I mean, my or our women, they play football and they play football to a high standard. I mean, you know, I've got players that have been at the top of the pyramid playing at like National League level, representing country at times, gone a lot higher than what most people have at step six or step five, step four of the men's game. But sometimes people are a little bit blinkered until they actually come and watch it. But as I say, the support from like the Rockettes Loyals, the Baldy Army, the Wheatsheaf Posse, like those boys coming in and they're young gentlemen, you know, they're not kids, but then they're not old men. They're chaps and they're geezers and they're coming along and they're supporting us. And it means the world to every single person behind the scenes and you know, on the pitch as well.
Yeah, that's brilliant to see, and hopefully this is a season of promotion rather than nearly promotion. So good luck to the season, Billy, and thank you for joining me.
No, I appreciate it, James. Thanks for the opportunity, buddy. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to episode 3 of the On the Rocks podcast. Thank you as always to Liam for joining me, and a massive thank you to Billy Bromley for what was a really good, enlightening chat. and taking the time to talk to us. Also, thank you to our media sponsors, Robin Rowe. As always, we want to hear your voice, so comment, reply, tweet, post, whatever platform you wish to contact us by. Let us know what you want to see going forward, and we will do our best to implement that. Thank you for listening, and up the rocks.